Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. It is Monday after Thanksgiving.
Hello.
What?
Hello.
Hi. It's Monday after Thanksgiving. We hope everyone listening had a great Thanksgiving holiday. Spend it with friends, family, whatever you may have been doing. We hope that it was a good one. And today is Monday. So, of course, you know what that means. This is Digging Deeper. Dark Seeker has put together a smorgasbord of the greatest clips from all of the Bachelor Nation podcasts over the past 2 weeks. We're going to be running down all the most important ones. We have some very interesting stuff with Romeo Alexander on Oops, the podcast. We have some Bachelor Happy Hour with guest Big Body. We have a clip from Chelsea Vaughn's new podcast, Vulnerable, with guest Abigail Herringer. We, of course, have some disturbing clips from Off the Vine. I'm very curious to see what you're going to say about those specifically.
Oh, yes. God.
Your favorite player of all time is engaging in some...
Is saying disturbing thing?
Yeah. I mean, look, they're basically attacking... Boy. Her and Daniel Maltby are basically attacking Sierra Jackson. We will get to that. I'm curious to see your reaction. And then we have, the main course of our meal tonight, our post-Thanksgiving Thanksgiving meal. We have five delicious clips from the Vial Files. And these clips are classic great one. We've got sour grapes on the menu. We've got some tea on the menu. And we've even got some When I Was a Bachelor on the menu. I can't wait to get into them.
Ooh. Treats ready for Thanksgiving. We got a full feast.
That is the full Thanksgiving meal. And then at the end of this, we have some clips with Johnny DeFilippo. He went on the Almost Famous podcast to talk about his experience at the live reunion and to talk about just kind of life as a result of being in our beloved game. That stuff is all very interesting. And of course, the great one is mentioned there for his role in revealing Victoria Fuller's secret relationship with Greg Grippo. So, we're going to be hitting all of that. But before we do, we of course must open this show by bidding a fond farewell to three people from the official Bachelor Nation podcast. This past week, Brian Abasolo and Mike Johnson, the hosts of Talking It Out, announced it was their final episode. So that show, that official Bachelor Nation podcast, is no more. I don't know what will come of it, if they're going to slot in two new hosts and just call it Talking Out. I don't know if they're going to completely scuttle it.
Wait, is the announcement that they're leaving it or that the show is over?
I don't really know. They just said it's our final episode. I don't know if that means the show is done or if they are just done as hosts. But that third Bachelor Nation podcast, at least for right now, does not exist. Now, will there be another one? I don't know.
Second Spark.
This
Ollie and Maltby.
I don't think it should be Ollie and Maltby. My recommendation is this. It's called Big Facts, and it is Aaron Clancy and James Bonsall. That's your podcast. If you're listening, producers, that's your podcast. Reach out to them now. Lock them into that deal. That podcast is gold.
Clancy absolutely needs to be podcasting, and it is a horrific tragedy if he's not.
I agree.
I'll say it right now. Sad to hear about Talking It Out. You know, we didn't really have them in that many digging deepers, but it was nice to know they were there.
Yep.
And sad about Tear. A colorful narrator for the ages. You would think she's a match made in heaven with podcasting.
Yeah, she also made the announcement she's going to be leaving Clickbait.
Sorry.
No problem. And we don't know why. We don't know if it is for her own personal reasons, wants to focus on life and starting a family and things of this nature, or if they're pushing her out. We don't know. But Clickbait, that lineup has had a varied roster of people from the beginning. It originally was Grocery, Tasia Adams, and The Sluice was loose all across Clickbait. Hannah Sluss dropped out, and they brought in Natasha Parker to take her spot. And then Tasia Adams eventually, once she was in the co-hosting of the show with Caitlin Bristowe, they bumped her up to Bachelor Happy Hour to be Becca Kufrin's co-host for a minute. And taking her place was Tia, who now is vacating that spot. So we'll see who they slot in there.
You know, as much as we talk about the protected position that Bachelor Nation official podcast hosts have, this does prove the ephemeral nature of it and not owning your own IP, that you can be slotted out as soon as they're like, well, we need to get someone from the newer generation in. Tier, you're out. The only person staying is Grocery Store through this whole thing. And he's just going to see a rotation of like 50 other hosts.
I'm curious to see. I mean, Clickbait, I do think, is popular enough. Like, the show's not going anywhere. But yeah, I'm curious to see who they slot in here with them as well. Obviously, we'll be covering that. And we'll be playing clips from whoever the new host is. And clips from whatever that third podcast is, if it exists.
Do you think they would put Clancy on there?
No, I don't think so. Because he'd outshine everybody. It would just become the Aaron Clancy show. You can't put that guy in a roster with two other people and just be like, here, see what happens. Clancy needs his own show with Bonsall as his sidekick. This is like...
Talking It Out with Aaron Clancy and James Bonsall. And then who's our third Clickbait host? What are our predictions?
I don't know. I would actually call the Bonsall Clancy show Big Facts, though. I don't know about the third Clickbait host, because who meshes well with a Grocery? I know they've kind of had Serena on there a few times, but I don't know if you want a couple in that mix, because then it really becomes about them as a couple, and Natasha Parker's like the third wheel, and I don't know. I don't know who they'll slot in there.
What about like Brandon Jones?
I don't think he's a podcaster personally. You know who'd be great at it? The Great One. They should get Nick Vial to be the third host.
Nick Vial? This is the worst prediction ever. He already has a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a giant audience.
And now he's on Clickbait?
Yes.
You think Aaron Clancy can't share a podcast, but Nick Vial can?
No, okay. I don't. But that would be a beautiful disaster. So we hope that you're taking our notes, producers. Please get Nick Vial on Clickbait. But now, let's do what we came here to do, Pace Case. Let's listen to all these glorious clips and break them down. This is
Digging Deeper.
First up, in Digging Deeper this week, we are going to Oops! The Podcast with guest Romeo Alexander from November 22nd. In this clip, Romeo discusses strategy in Paradise, and he makes a very interesting reference to certain people who are openly studying the strategy of the game. Here we go.
Is there ever like a politics play where there's like a couple candidates left and you have a rose, but you just really want to get rid of somebody more than you want the person you give the rose to?
There's definitely a lot of scheming and strategizing.
It's a bit like Survivor.
Yeah.
You can teach a math class in this way.
I think there are a bunch of nerds that have made a business out of talking about the game strategy of all this, like Game of Roses or something, that has kind of infiltrated things a bit. But there's a concept of a friend rose where you have no romantic connection with anybody, but you want to give a rose to somebody. But I think I innovated in the genre. I gave out an apology rose.
I was not expecting that.
Hello, nerd.
Oh, my. Am I a nerd? I guess I'm a nerd for Bachelor. Yeah.
I think you are.
Sup, nerd?
Not much nerd. We are the nerds he was talking about. We are Game of Roses or something, as he said. The adding in the or something or whatever
or
at the
something.
End. A little dismissive, but thank you nonetheless, Romeo Alexander, for mentioning us on this podcast. Our influence over the game is obviously growing.
You know, there's been a few descriptors of our podcast by players of the game. You have the great one calling us super fan podcast. We have Romeo Alexander calling us business nerds. And I like both of them, you know?
Yeah. I'll take business nerds.
It's hard to describe what we do, I suppose.
Yeah.
But love to hear a true student of this game, Romeo. I mean, I would hope that if he had been in the pit, he would have lasted longer on the show, but once you get in it, it's a different ball game.
That is true. But thank you again, Romeo Alexander. And thank you for this lovely clip, Dark Seeker. We always like to hear ourselves mentioned in the context of the game. It means that our long-standing goal, really why we started doing any of this, to have some influence over it, is coming true. Now let's move on to our next clip. This has nothing to do with us. This clip comes from... This clip comes to us from Bachelor Happy Hour with guest Big Body Trash Can Thomas Jacobs on November 16th. In this clip, Kufrin, the Tropical Royale, and Big Body discuss the tests that Brandon and Serene have faced so far. Here we go.
I think that in that moment, that was like the first time we saw Brandon really break down. Obviously, he was in tears for Rodney leaving, but the fact that Serene was there to comfort him and they just like had this moment where they were like, I don't want to be with everyone else. We want to be away and just like lean on each other. I think that helped their relationship because they haven't really, I mean, they haven't themselves really been tested, but I think it was a good strengthening moment for them.
Let me ask you a question on that. You said they haven't been tested yet, but to me, it's almost like they haven't even had a reason to be tested yet because they're just so set forth on loving each other. Would you say that's almost a test in itself, that nothing coming to that beach can deter them?
Well, I think, I mean, when you're living on that beach, there's not really tests unless they're like dramatic show planted tests, right? Like, they'll be tested in the real world. I'm sure if they're sold together in this moment in time, like, they're probably being tested outside of the show. But they haven't. I mean, they it's not like they've had to go through seeing each other go on dates with other people. Like, since day one, since, like, hour one, they were so into each other and, like, adamant for one another that they haven't, like, had to. They haven't had other forces come in to test them.
This was kind of interesting to me in that Kufrin seems to think tests are really only if you're going on dates with other people. And she tries to make the differentiation between like producer manufactured tests, which I would guess in her mind is like the split, versus having to watch back your person going on dates with other people. But those dates are also producer manufactured. They send in players specifically with date cards to break up relationships and whatever. So I'm not really sure what kind of tests she feels are valid, from this clip, but it is interesting that, at least in her mind, she is describing here this differentiation between, like, what is a valid test, what's a valid relationship because of the tests they've experienced. And she almost is kind of invalidating Brandon and Serene in that, like, well, yeah, they look good now in Paradise, but they haven't really been tested. Not a real test. Just a fucking torture chamber created by producers to try and psychologically break them, but not a real test.
I don't understand. I like this term, though, a dramatic show planted test.
Yeah.
So that's like split week or them being forced to go on a date.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think in her mind, the show planted tests are like the structural tests, split weeks. I mean, I guess that would be it really on Paradise. I guess she doesn't see like the going on dates is like a real test to her. But she has to know that those are also producer manufactured.
I don't know. I guess she's like, if you all eggs one basket so soon, then you're never going to be tested because...
Right.
Or I guess she doesn't see the asking on a date as a test. Or like Olu hitting on Serene.
Because we saw this season, you know, Rodney and Logan both were put to, in quotes, that test. When their respective partners were like, well, I'm being asked on a date. What should I do? And they didn't lock it down and be like, I forbid you from even looking at another man. I guess that was a test that both of those guys seemingly failed.
I also think like the whole thing is a test because you're being filmed the whole time and being told what to do and just like hopping over these other obstacles and you have to navigate, you know, the second audience, like you have to make friends and appear likable enough that they don't kick your couple off. I mean, I guess Brandon and Serene kind of like were a protected couple the whole time. So it's like there was no real fear that they would be dumped. But there's like couples who are dumped.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they were a protected couple, by the way.
Chris Conran and Alana Milne.
I think they would have. Yeah, they were not a protected couple. I think if the producers could have broken up that relationship, they would have. I think they were just like literally a legitimately strong couple, that they did like each other, that the emotion was real, and there was nothing producers could do to stop that. They tried. They fucking did the split week. A protected couple is like Olio and Maltby. They did not have to do the split week. Remember that?
Brandon and Serene, I think, are a protected couple because they need some 4TRR relationship to come out of it that's going to be an engagement. And they had him pulling the ring in his intro package.
Yes, absolutely.
He was a guaranteed proposal.
But I mean, they shot the intro package like after the show, I would guess, after they knew what was going to happen. I'm just saying that if they could have destroyed that couple, they would have. They couldn't, though, because I do believe they are sincerely in love.
No, I believe it, too. I believe it to the point where I have no evidence, but I feel like they dated before the show.
Probably DM'd or something at the very least. Met at Coachella. Met in a swimming pool full of piss somewhere.
Love at first sight with no DMs?
Yeah, that seems unlikely, but...
In this economy?
I'm just saying that they were not, at least by my objective definition of protected player, they were not. Because they were subjected to all the same shit everybody else was.
I mean, they included the line where Serene was telling Brandon to redo his line. That was not protected to me. But other than that, I was like, they gave him a 4TR edit.
But yeah, that's in the edit, though. Like, if you're looking at like Mollio and Altby, who were protected, that's even beyond the edit. It's in the structure of the game that they get protection. Olio is like, no, you're going to dump Sierra. Okay, but we need you here still. So here's Maltby with a rose for you. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to split all the other couples up now and make them go through fucking hell on earth. But not you. You guys get to go live in a fucking house somewhere.
Oh, right. I forgot. They are protected because they have their own house.
Look, that's just my belief. That's conspiracy town. But they were protected in that they did not have to participate in the split. They still got to hang out together while all the other couples were fucking torn asunder. Let's move on to our next clip. In this next clip, we're going to be listening to Chelsea Vaughn, one of the best gore girls that ever gored. She has a new podcast. It is called Vulnerable. In this episode from November 14th, her guest is Abigail Herringer. You may remember her. She was the Fimp Rose recipient of season 25. In this clip, Chelsea and Abigail discuss the player/producer relationship especially after shooting ends. Here we go.
And I feel like another thing too, that's like one of the longer term effects, is almost feeling like you got used. Like, I don't know if you feel like this sometimes, like you put so much energy into the show or whatnot. And even like post show or whatnot, you almost kind of just feel like, okay, you got sucked out of everything that they wanted from you and then kind of just tossed back. And you're just kind of like, okay, like I talked about things I've never talked about, like traumas, everything. And they really pulled it out of me. And I literally share it with the world and then get disregarded. And it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, yes, like that's the business, like it's a show, whatnot. Like you shouldn't take those things personally. But it's just like a very real, again, it's the whole stimulation thing. It's a very weird thing. You can't really explain it to other people. But it's just a harsh reminder of like, you're not special. Like, and it is like, you're not special. Like, you were on the show for a reason. We used that for the full benefit. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And once you kind of get that slap in the face, it's definitely hard because it's almost like a loss of identity because you're like, oh, okay, well, is that all that I'm good for? Like, you kind of start questioning everything. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's just a weird slap back into reality for sure.
Yeah, you're right. And like you said, okay, I know it's not personal, it's business, and it is business. We're all smart enough to know that this is a TV show. It's a machine. Like, they know how to operate. They've been doing this for a very long time. They're good at it. They know how to produce good TV. But like, it is personal. Like, it was personal to us. It was personal to me when I'm like talking about how I shaved my head and like telling people something that's so vulnerable to me, like that I've never shared with anyone. It's personal to you when you're talking about your hearing loss for the first time, like when you're dating someone. Like, it is personal to all of us. And to them, it's almost like, okay, you're a number. Like, you're part of the machine. Like, thanks so much for the good TV. Bye. So like that, like, yes, I know it's not personal, but like, it is personal. It was personal.
Whew. I know. This is a tough one to hear. It's something that we have known for a very long time. It's something that is, you know, potentially obvious, I guess, to anybody in the pit, but this is how producers treat you. They bring a player in, they use them for whatever version of their identity they think will fit the narrative of that season or that scene or whatever the case may be. And then they fucking discard you unless you're one of their high-level players that they want to reuse on another season of Paradise to come back to host a date or in one of their podcasts. If you're not that, if you're somebody like a Chelsea Vaughn, even an Abigail Herringer, who fit their needs for that one season, that was season 25, Matt James.
Two seasons.
Oh, on Paradise as well, yeah. But they were specifically, I think, talking about more the what they were talking about in 25, having these very kind of like deep personal conversations about certain elements of their life, certain elements of their identity. And then the producers are just like, yep, great. Thanks for allowing us to make another 13 episodes. Goodbye. And they don't give a fuck about you. And this is something that is like, it's almost universally true in other professional sports as well. The players come in, they sacrifice whatever they sacrifice to further the game. And if you're looking at sports like MMA or boxing or football, like combat sports, where physically people can get fucking wrecked, have lifelong problems because of as a result of whatever injuries they suffer during the course of the game. And then the league itself is just like, fuck you. And it didn't. It took like player associations being developed so that there are essentially unions for these players that now say, well, no, they need to have health insurance. They need to have some kind of, you know, psychological care if they need it after the game, all this kind of stuff. So those things are in place for these giant billion-dollar professional sports. They are not in place for the players of our beloved game.
No, it's part of the problem with, you know, in football, you at least stick around for a few seasons. With Bachelor, like, maybe you get to go on multiple seasons, but not long enough for you to be to form a union or anything like that. Like, that it's not like Housewives characters on a reality show where it's like they need them to make the show to come back. They have a new player pool every season. That it is more abuse, use, and discard. I thought this was such a good description of it by both of them. Just like, that they're talking about their traumas that are super vulnerable, but it's a machine and you're a number, like a deli counter number. And then once you're done, you're done. And, you know, Abigail at least got to play again. I mean, but Chelsea Vaughn got back at the ass party. What was it? Tight ass party. She was barely on the beach. She went for Clancy briefly, but.
Well, remember, Abigail Herringer was forced into a breakup with young Noah Erb at the prom. And now I think they're together.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a fake breakup for the cameras.
Yeah, I believe they're still together. Well, I think that's why they kind of changed the rules of Paradise this season to be like, oh, and if you're not going to get engaged, leave now together. You know what? Something that has struck me coming out of this new podcast, Vulnerable, is, are we never going to see X's and the City?
I don't think we are. I think that podcast got destroyed.
This was a podcast that got briefly announced that was Chelsea Vaughn, Abigail Herringer, Kit Keenan, and Piper James. And then it was stamped off the mat.
Yeah, the producer said, no, you cannot do that. But Chelsea Vaughn can do Vulnerable. We are looking very forward to everything she's about to do on this podcast. I think it's going to be a very important one, judging by this episode, because it does seem like players are spilling tea. And in terms of like where we are with the Sauce Wars, the fact that this podcast even exists is a major step on the tea side of the Sauce Wars. Thank you, Chelsea Vaughn, for your service.
Yeah.
And now we are going to move on to a little podcast you might have heard of called Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. This is where we're really going to start breaking down all of the drama that happened as a result of the live Bachelor in Paradise season 8 reunion. All of these next clips are going to be talking about the Victoria Fuller stuff, the Johnny D. Filippo stuff, the Sierra Jackson stuff, the Maltby stuff. In this clip, Maltby is the guest on Off the Vine. And they are going to be talking about, how do I even put this? Sierra Jackson. And they issue essentially an unwarranted character attack on Sierra Jackson. This is, again, Caitlin Bristow, your goat, and Daniel Maltby engaging in, I don't know, this was surprising to hear.
Even goats sometimes aren't perfect.
I'm not, of course. I'm not suggesting anyone's a perfect human being. I'm just saying this was a very uncharacteristic thing coming out of her mouth, at least I thought. Judge for yourself, though. Here we go. If you would like to hear that Caitlin Bristow clip, as well as the rest of this episode, which goes for about an hour and 20 minutes, you're just going to go to patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us in the bottom of the pit. You'll get the rest of this episode. You'll get every digging deeper we've ever done. All the other episodes that we have done on the Patreon, there's about 50 of them in there, I believe now, maybe a little bit more. And you'll get access to our live shows that we do every Monday at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we break down everything that's going on in this week in the Bachelor world. And you'll get access to our Discord, where you can talk to everybody down in the bottom of the pit who's talking about Bachelor and Pokemon Go and all kinds of weird stuff. So we hope you will join us there. Once again, that is patreon.com/gameofroses. See you in the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in. Dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.